we've been discussing this whole month. It takes a team to do ministry. It takes a team to do ministry. Just like it takes a team to do life at your house. Man, sometimes I remember coming home from school, and as I got older, I always wondered, scratched my head, how did my mom do it? How did she do it? I'm the youngest of seven. But how did she know when my dad was going to get home? And how did she know to have dinner ready? And how did she know that just when he got out of the shower, he went to his room, got dressed, came to the kitchen table, bam, that dinner would be on that table? How did she do it? I would like to interject a joke, but I'm not going to. I don't want my wife to get mad at me. But how did she do those things? But you know, it took all of us to help out. It took all of us to do things. Especially, we had a basement, especially when it rained and it poured so much that our basement got flooded. All of us are trying to go ahead and pick up clothes and pick up things and get buckets and throw them out, you know, throw it out the window. And I mean, it would take all of us. It takes a team to do ministry. Listen, it takes a team to do life at home. And God needs to be the one that instructs all of you in that family, in that home, to know what you're responsible to do and how to do it correctly. Amen? So you and I, as believers in Jesus Christ, we are the church. Whether you like it or not, whether you agree with it or not, and some people even think that just because they came to church one time this past year, they're a part of Hidden Treasure Assembly of God. Ah, no, I'm glad you came. I hope you continue to come back. I hope that you continue to be a part. And that's what we're going to talk about today, because it takes a team to do ministry. And God wants you to be a part of that team. I mentioned a couple weeks ago that to be a part of that team doesn't mean that you just have a, you know, the reason why I have this shirt, some of you see a pumpkin, you're probably thinking, dude, it falls a long time ago. What are you doing? This is a new Christian, Jesus shirt I have. And I really like it because I don't know who came up with the slogan, but it says, "Are you following Jesus?" You know, and I just like that. Just I think it's kind of cool. It's funny. It gets people's attention. Are you following Jesus? Because a lot of people, they say they are, but they're not. Coming to church just one time doesn't mean you're following Jesus. Doesn't mean you're a part of the team. You see, on God's team, you may have a Christian t-shirt. But you know what? A Christian t-shirt doesn't mean you're on the team. It doesn't mean that you're on the team. You might have a gym bag. Well, if you don't ever go to the gym, you're not a part of that. Including if you don't have the little card, you're not a member of that gym. Right. Some people think that, well, Pastor, I got a bumper sticker on my car. Having a bumper sticker doesn't mean that you're a part of the team. A bumper sticker, it's a sticker. Of course, this isn't a sticker, it's a piece of paper. It says, Jesus is the answer for the world today. He is. But because you have this bumper sticker on your car, it doesn't mean you're a part of his team. And you can be a part of his team. Here's another one. I like this one. Fisher of men. We catch him, he cleans him. Matthew 4:19. If you have this cool bumper sticker, one like it, that doesn't mean you're on the team. It just means you have a cool Jesus bumper sticker. Here's another one for those of you that like to follow too closely. Do you follow Jesus this close? If you have a bumper sticker like this, doesn't mean that you're on the team. Now, for those of you that play sports or you've played sports, I'm from Chicago, so I'm a Bears fan. But just because I have memorabilia doesn't mean that I'm on the team. Just because I have little trinkets and little things, little toys that say about the team that I root for, doesn't mean I'm part of the team. Now, this is my son Silas's soccer bag from Camden Middle School. He was on the team. He was on the team because he tried out. He was on the team because he went to practice. He was on the team because he played on the team. In order for us to be on the team, we need to make sure that we are on the right team. You see, because even if you know a part of the verse, for I can For I can do all things through, I don't know the rest, but I know that verse. Yeah, I know that verse. Doesn't mean you're a part of the team, even if you can quote that whole verse. You're not a part of the team. Now, I'm not sure how many of you, go to the next slide. I made it too small. It says, oh, come on, pick me. And the other guy says, are you gonna? And he says, I'm thinking. I'm not sure how many of you have ever experienced that in gym class. I mentioned that a couple weeks ago. But this is how you can know you're a part of the team. My next slide. It's because of what God's word says. It's because of what God's word says. We're having technical difficulties, but it should be bigger. Romans 10:9 says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. That's how you know you could be a part of the team. That's how you know that you are a part of the team. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is your Lord. Jesus is Lord. That word Lord means supreme authority. It means master. It means ruler of my life. It means the one that I'm surrendered to. If I confess with my mouth Jesus as Lord. Jesus the Lord. I believe in my heart that God raised him from the dead. You shall be saved. And then John chapter 15 verse 5. Straight out of Jesus' mouth. He says this. I am the vine. You are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him. Without me, you can do nothing. Amen. So you can have a t-shirt that says Jesus, you know, a Christian t-shirt. You can have bumper stickers that talk about Jesus. But that doesn't mean that you are in him and he is in you. Because without him, you can do nothing.
That's right.
But I want to encourage you with something. Because God wants you to be on the team. God made it possible for you and I to be on the team. So he's not like looking around and he's thinking, well, I want you, I want you. No, I don't want you. You're too slow. I want you. No, you can't remember things very well. No. He doesn't say that. He wants all of us to be on the team. That's why he sent Jesus. That's why we have these scriptures. That if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, we are saved. We can be on that team. Being on this team requires a personal sacrifice. And I don't know if I want to. Oh, there we go. All right. Hey, praise the Lord. Let's go to my next slide. I was about to say, I don't know if I want to ask him to go to my next slide. But let's go to my next slide. You see, being on his team. Being on his team requires a personal sacrifice to follow Jesus. Now, Matthew chapter 16, verse 24. I'll read it for you. It says, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Hey, listen, Joe is awesome. We just installed, praise God, we just installed a new projector. So there's some, quirks with that. And so we're thankful to the Lord for that provision. But it says, hey, if anyone, good job, Joe. Joe and Adam over there doing some magic. If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. See, it requires something from you. It requires you to sacrifice and give yourself. Deny yourself. Deny yourself. Deny yourself. God, help us. I'm not sure how many of you this past week you chose not to deny yourself. Every single one of us in this room are not perfect. See, sometimes when I share scriptures like this, it's just a part of me that wants to make it certain that what I say doesn't come across like, well, for other people, but it's not for you. Every single one of us need a Savior. Every single one of us have fallen. Every single one of us have chosen not to deny ourselves. That's why we need a Savior. Every one of us. Well, the thing with the lies of the enemy, he whispers in your ear, he brings it to your mind, and he says, well, you know, you're not good enough. You don't know scriptures. You don't know enough scriptures. Those are lies that can really detour you from believing that you can be on the team, that God wants you to be on the team. Well, I can never do that. I can never deny myself, and I can never take up this cross. What does that mean, take up your cross? I could follow him. If you only knew my past, he wouldn't want me to follow him. This is why Jesus died, so that we can. He paid the price. He paid your punishment. He took your punishment on his back to make it possible for you. Because we can't do this on our own. Being on this team requires a personal sacrifice to follow Jesus. It's not for the cause of being good, because none of us can be good enough. It's not because, I want to be a church member. We don't do this just to be a church member. It's not because of the preacher. It's not because of the awesome worship leader you have. Or the group of people that are sitting over in this section that are so cool. We don't do all of that because of them. We do that because of what Jesus has done for us. Yeah, they're all like, yeah, I'm cool. Yeah. So now that we understand who can be on the team, who God wants to be on the team, who gets to be on the team. Listen, you and I have no excuses that you can't be a team player. Well, I'm just a little rough around the edges. I'm just like sandpaper. I'm good for you, so stick with me. No, you can't have any excuses that you're just going to choose to be who you want to be. Jesus himself says you got to deny yourself. You got to take up his cross, carry the gospel, carry the good news of Jesus all around the world, and follow Jesus. That means because Jesus is kind, you got to be kind. Because Jesus is forgiving, you have to forgive. Because Jesus is merciful, you got to be merciful. Because Jesus came not so that he can have people serve him. No, Jesus came so that he can serve. And then he says, so that I can give my life as a ransom for many. Who's the many? All of us. So when we look to Jesus, he reveals to us the life that we can live. If God can change me, and I'm not going to go into my testimony, but if God can change me, and some of you know, I've shared it before, my foul mouth and all that God was willing to work with, and he still does, thank God. If God can change me, he can change you. No more hiding behind these cliches. Well, I am who I am. You just have to deal with it. What did Popeye say? I am what I am. Let me go to the next slide. Even Popeye needs Jesus. Even Popeye needs, there we go. Even Popeye needs Jesus. You see, Popeye, all he needed to do was open up a can of spinach and he can go ahead and, you know, beat up. Anybody remember who is Ark? Yep. Bluto. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You see, people have this on t-shirts, bumper stickers, or even on a plaque in their house. But my question, the main question is Christ really strengthening you? Are you really denying yourself, picking up your cross and following him and going to him for the strength that you need? See, every team even has a goal. Do you have that video? It's just a sound bite. Every team has a goal. So,
mira el centro, clave gol!
Thank you so much. Appreciate that. Just wanted to put that into your mind. So, see, Team Jesus has a goal. Each one of us has a goal. Jesus shares with us the greatest commandment. And this, I would say, would be the greatest goal. Number one goal, the first one, is that we would love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. It's going to take every part of us to love him. He wants us to love him in that manner and in that way. That's number one. But the next one, the next goal, let me go back. Our team's first goal is to love God. This will lead us to know Jesus in a more intimate way. When we choose to love God and we understand what love is. See, Jesus knew that you and I were going to sin. That's why he died on the cross. Romans 5:8, it says God already knew. It says that God demonstrated his love towards you and towards me, and that while he knew you were sinners, Christ died for you. And Jesus, he carried that cross knowing who he was going to die for, a sinful generation, a sinful world. He was going to be nailed on that cross for you and for me. This enables us to reach our next goal, to win souls. Do you realize that we live in Christ so that others may see Him in us? That's a goal that we have. This is what Jesus prayed. Let's go to John chapter 17, verses 20 through 21. And I know that this is the first verse. So if you want to stand, you can. John chapter 17, verse 20 through 21. Jesus is praying to the Father, and I wanted to show you that He's talking about you. He has you in mind. Jesus says, I do not pray for these alone. Who are these? These are the disciples that God gave Him. But also for those who will believe in Me through their word. Through whose word? Through the disciples that God gave Jesus. Through their word, there will be people that will believe in Jesus. So Jesus, here in verse 20, He's thinking about you. I encourage you, for those of you that ever have to battle and deal with low self-esteem or think that God doesn't love you, God doesn't think about you, Jesus doesn't think about you. Memorize this verse, please. For it will remind you that Jesus was praying for you. In this time, in this situation, at this moment, He's praying to the Father, and He says, God, I don't pray for these guys here that You gave Me. But God, I pray for all of those who will believe in Me because of their word, because of their report, because of their testimony, because of them being on the team and doing what team members do. Verse 21, that they may be one as You, Father, are in Me and I in You, that they also may be one in us. And what does it say? That the world may believe that You sent Me. You and I, as members on Jesus' team, have this great responsibility. Number one, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And number two is to love others as yourself. We begin to learn what Jesus is, who Jesus is, and His great love. And it brings intimacy between us and Jesus. We get to know Him, and then we are enabled by His presence, by His Spirit, by God's Spirit, to be witnesses for Jesus in this world. God, I thank You. Thank You for wanting us to be on the team. Some of us can't even kick a ball. Some of us can't even throw a ball straight. But God, You want us to be on Your team. Thank You, God, that some of us, we don't get things right. We forget things. God, I thank You, Father God, that we just don't all do things perfectly. But yet You desire to place Your perfect love in us, Your perfect Spirit in us, giving us a perfect message that we can share with this imperfect world. Thank You, God, that You want us to be a part of the team. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. So my first point is you can be on the team because God wants you on the team. It takes a team to do ministry. Don't fall for these lies. You don't have what it takes. Only preachers and Sunday school teachers save people. God uses His favorites to do His work. Those are lies. It gives you a way out, doesn't it? It gives you to have an excuse to say, well, I guess I don't need to go to prayer because, you know, I can't pray right. Well, I guess I don't need to go witness to people because I always forget and I don't know, I don't have any scriptures memorized. I can't memorize. I don't have good memories, you know, I don't have good memorization skills. Well, then endeavor to have one. Endeavor to know how to pray. Learn what it means to pray. Be able to see your responsibility as a team player, as a person on the team, that you have a perfect message to share with someone that needs Jesus. My next slide. You see, none of us can have, and I love that this verse, we have this verse because none of us can say that we have an excuse not to be involved on the team. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 states that if you are a believer in Christ, it says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is what? A new creation. Old things. My father-in-law used to say, some people believe you can't teach an old dog new tricks. God can. Because the old things have passed away. And when you come to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are a new creation. I think one version says new creature. I don't think you want to tell people they're creatures. But anyway, you are a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. Then it says in verse 18, now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to Himself. That's what Jesus had to die on the cross, to reconcile, to pay for our payment, to pay for our sin. That was God's way of reconciling us to Him. who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us, everyone say us.
Us.
No, that's not loud enough. Us.
Us.
The ministry of reconciliation. You and I have a ministry. What? I've said this many times before. You and I have a ministry. It's up to you whether you're going to be involved in it or not. Now, I remember saying this short story. I was a soccer coach for one of my boys' soccer team, and there was a girl that was on the team, and all she wanted to do was play with the little pieces of dirt on the field. She didn't want to kick the ball. Matter of fact, she got excited when she didn't start. When I didn't put her on the field, she was glad to be on the bench. She just wanted to be on the team. Christians just want to be on the bench. But to be a part of his team, you can't sit on the bench. He doesn't want you to sit on the bench. There is something that has been done that is far too important for you to be sitting on the bench doing nothing. He wants you to be involved. What, me? Yes, he wants you. And there is no excuse now that I'm sharing with you. Sorry, but now you have no excuse. Each one of us are ministers of reconciliation, and God wants to use you as that minister. He created you. He created each of us with a ministry, something for us to do. You and I get to. We get to play a part in this ministry, in this great kingdom building work of God. God's good works. Ephesians 2, chapter 2, verse 10 says that you and I, we get to walk in. Ephesians 2:10 says you are his masterpiece, one version says. You are his workmanship. You are his perfect picture. Created in Christ Jesus. For what? For good works, which God has already ordained, which God has already, beforehand, has already planned that you and I should walk in them. You see, these lies try to give you a reason. Anybody hear the term, pass the buck? Go ahead and just pass that down. Go ahead and just pass that down. You pass that down too. Go ahead and pass that down the aisle. You can pass that down. Pass it all the way down over there. Pass the buck. Read that little piece of paper there. Of course, I found it because it says caution. And it says buck passing. We tend to want to pass the buck. Why do people do that? And just keep passing around. If you don't know who to give it to, just look to your left or right. There's someone sitting there. Just pass it. Just keep passing it. We're going to do this for a little bit, and then I'll tell you can stop and put it down. The reason why people do this is because they don't want that responsibility. If you keep passing it, you still have a responsibility. You're just choosing not to walk in what God has already ordained beforehand for you to walk in. There is a perfect message that needs to be shared, and you are responsible for sharing that. You are responsible for getting involved in that. Do you know right now what I'm doing is no more important than the people that are doing the nursery right now? Try to have an altar call with a bunch of crying kids running around and wanting to come up on stage and play the drums. If you ever see my daughter Eden, she likes to do that from time to time. I think all kids like to come up here and touch something, you know, mess with something. The nursery is important. Anybody, I'm not going to get too personal, but you go into the restroom, I pray that there was soap. I believe there was, because we have great people who are faithful in teaching. Soap, paper towels, toilet paper, the light turned on. Hopefully it smelled good. Another joke I will not put. But anyway, but even church cleaners. How many of you had coffee this morning? Somebody made that coffee. You see, every part of what consists, thank you, sir. I was wondering who's going to pass the buck to me. Thank you. Thank you. I was just wondering who's going to pass the buck to the pastor. Because this is so true. Many people expect, well, the pastor will do it. Well, the pastor has a lot of time. He doesn't work. He has a lot of time. He could do it. If you pass it, that still doesn't mean you don't have the you still have the responsibility. You're just looking the other way. But God, as he wants us to be a part of the team, as he's given us ministry, as he's given us the ability to be a part of this ministry. Yet many people will believe this lie. Other people are more talented. They have time. I don't. Yes, you do have the time. Yes, you do have the talent. You have the Spirit of the living God, the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead as a believer in Jesus Christ, dwells in you. You can't tell me that God can't use you. You have no excuses. So to say, well, you know, I'm just who I am. No, we just read a verse, behold, all things become new. Old things have passed away. So hopefully you're not still living like the same person you used to. If you are, you need to start praying more. You need to maybe meet me at the altar a couple of times during the week, and we'll pray and we'll just meet with God about the situation going on, because you're still doing the things that you used to do. When Scripture tells us they're supposed to pass away, behold, all things become new. Accountability. Shannon preached this last week. Accountability, it helps us to accomplish our goal. Our goal at loving God, at loving others, and winning souls. Pastor Shannon shared that the definition of accountability is willing to accept responsibility from one's actions. If you will make yourself accountable, you will no longer pass the buck, because you'll realize what God is enabling you, calling you, wanting you to get involved in and do. In the front of where you're sitting, there's some seat pockets. If you don't see any, there's going to be some up here. Would love, we can pass it around, and I'll just put it up here in the front. But there are serve cards. And on these serve cards, there's different ministries: kids ministry, teaching, hospitality ministry, production tech ministry, facility ministry, worship team, communication outreach ministry. And there's a place where you can put your name. You see, I don't believe that God led you to this place because of a mere coincidence. But the fact that God was leading you because he's already prepared beforehand things for you to get involved in, things that you're supposed to be working in, things that you're supposed to be walking in. Just think about this. The New Testament church, even in the New Testament church, there were Team Jesus people, people on the team. And you know what they did? They continued what Paul, Peter, James, and John and the other leaders of the church, what they were doing. Even when they left, how did God's kingdom building continue? It was the people that they ministered to, the people that accepted Christ. And even after they left, when Paul left the town, he made it a shirt and he wrote them to encourage them. To encourage them for what? To still do the work that God had called them to do. To love God, to love others, to win souls. They kept doing the kingdom building work. Luke chapter 4, verses 18 and 19. If you don't want to go there, you want to turn over to that wall on that banner. We have been mentioning about that banner, preaching that banner, talking about praying over that, praying over the church according to that verse for years now. And I've always said this, that's what Jesus started. And we get to continue to do. Realizing that we are ministers of reconciliation, there are still people who need to hear the gospel. Am I right? There are still people who need deliverance. There are still people who are oppressed. There are still people who are brokenhearted. There are still people who are blind physically and spiritually. And the gospel message continues. It needs to continue to be spreading all around the world. And you and I, we get to be a part of that. It is a privilege. It is a privilege that God gives us this authority in Jesus Christ to continue to do what Jesus started. And I wanted to share this as I close in Luke chapter 9. It's a passage of Scripture. In this passage, Jesus feeds the 5,000. You guys remember, some of you might have read this. If you have not read it, can I encourage you over dinner today while you're feeding yourself, while you're feeding your kids, have somebody read Luke chapter 9. Starting in verse 11 is where I'm going to start, but this is a special passage that many people overlook, because what they see, I mean, the miraculous thing was that 5,000 people ate. They were fed. with a little bit of lunch, with a little bit of food. But I want us to realize it's what Jesus does and the way that he does it that should encourage us. It says, but when the multitudes knew it, knew what? They knew that Jesus was there. See, Jesus wanted to go find a secluded place and go talk with his disciples. But there was a multitude of people there. They knew it and they followed him. And he received them and he spoke to them about the kingdom of God, kingdom building, telling them about the gospel, telling them about God's truths, teaching them. And it says he healed those who had need of healing. Verse 12. When the day began to wear away, the 12 came to him and said, send the multitude away that they may go into the surrounding towns and country and lodge and get provisions, for we are in a deserted place here. He said to them, you give them something to eat. And they said, we have no more than 5 loaves and 2 fish unless we go and buy food for all these people. For there were about 5,000 men. So some commentators say there was more than 5,000 because if you have men, you might have women and children there. Then he said to his disciples, make them sit down in groups of 50. And they did so and made all of them sit down. I had to take a long, trying to get a bunch of adults to do something, you know, yeah. It's almost as hard as telling a bunch of kids to do something. Then he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish. Wait a minute. You want me to sit here? I don't want to sit here. It's a new jacket I have. No. This rock's too hard. So then he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and looking up to heaven, he blessed and broke them and gave them to the disciples to set before the multitude. So they all ate and were filled, and 12 baskets of the leftover fragments were taken up by them. We're so focused on the fact that, wow, 5,000 plus people got fed. But it's the way that Jesus does this that should encourage us, should cause us to see we are on his team and he wants to use us. You see, the way that he does it, even the lazy ones might have wanted to pass the buck, but he told his disciples, go tell them to go sit down in groups of 50. That was the beginning of them beginning to serve these people. You see, because of Jesus and his compassion for the people, he didn't tell them, nope, let's go. Hey, guys, let's run. Because of his compassion for the multitude, he had them sit down and he began to share with them something that was more important at the time, the kingdom message. And then when the disciples said, yo, Jesus, it's getting kind of late. You need to send them so they can go get something to eat. He says, you feed them. Well, how are we going to feed them? We only have a little bit of food. And he tells them, go ahead and sit down. Jesus had compassion on them so much is that he wanted to feed them. But then Jesus had compassion on his disciples that he wanted to use the disciples to serve. See, Jesus didn't need the disciples. Just like today, God doesn't need us. He can do everything by just writing it in the clouds, telling everybody Jesus saves. He could do so many miraculous things, causing rocks to speak to people to get their attention. Inanimate objects to start speaking to you and telling you the goodness and the glory of God. He can do that, but he doesn't want to. He chooses to use you and me, that we are on his team, and he desires for us to walk in the good works, the great things that he's already ordained for us to walk in. So they were used miraculously to serve and to be compassionate as Jesus was compassionate. Here, they were used to be the hands and feet of Jesus, and God still wants to do this today. See, because Jesus decides out of compassion for the multitude, I'm going to share the message, I'm not going to send them away, I'm going to feed them, and Jesus decides to use his disciples to serve them. To minister to the need of the people. There are people today that have great many needs. The most important need, though, is that they come to know Jesus. That they come to see Jesus in you. Listen to Holy Spirit in what or how he is speaking to you today of how you can minister, of how you can be on the team. Well, but I have a hat. That doesn't mean you're on the team. Well, I got a bumper sticker. That doesn't mean you're on the team. I gave my life to the Lord Jesus Christ October 14th, 1994. And every day I've chosen to live for him, to deny myself, to pick up my cross, and to follow Jesus. Am I perfect? No. But Jesus, he came to set me free. I can confess my sins, and he is faithful and just to forgive me of my sins and to cleanse me from all unrighteousness. And he wants me to continue to walk with him, that even though I have hats, even though I have bumper stickers, even though I have t-shirts, that doesn't make me a believer in Jesus Christ. That doesn't make me a part of the team. Him living in me makes me a part of the team. And if I'm a part of the team, God wants to use me, just like God wants to use each and every single one of you. So I don't know how many of you are going to fill these cards. I don't know how many of you even want to fill these cards. But listen, if you don't fill these cards and you put them back in the pocket, you're just passing the buck. You're passing the buck. But you still have that responsibility. You're just choosing not to take that responsibility. There's a lot of things that not just can be done here in this building, on this property, but out in our community. You see, just because, but you don't even have to be connected to Hidden Treasures. There are so many other churches in this community. There are a lot of people in this community that need Jesus. And if believers in Jesus Christ who are on the team would stop passing the buck and learning how to serve as the Holy Spirit leads them, there'll be a lot more people that will come to know Jesus Christ. There will be a lot more people involved doing the good works that God has already ordained for you and I to walk in. My last slide. You see, we are a team who does ministry together, and it requires you to be on the team to do what God has called you to do. There will always be situations like what Jesus and the disciples faced. Always situations where there'll be multitudes of people or situations that want to take up your attention, that want to keep you busy. Situations or people that will surround you to distract you. Kind of like when you go outside right about now and all the gnats that surround you just annoy you and just, you know, buzz in front of your face. Yet you and I have to remain goal-oriented of the situation at hand. I'm on the team. I don't even have to have this t-shirt on, but I'm on the team. Holy Spirit, what do you want me to do? As I was mentioning this morning in our new membership class, Holy Spirit, I'm about to go to Walmart. Holy Spirit, who do you want me to speak to? Holy Spirit, who can I encourage? Holy Spirit, who needs to hear a message from God? Here I am. God, use me. If we would each look at ourselves as a valuable member of his team, man, we will remain goal-oriented for the situation at hand, and they'll change from time to time. So what do we do on the team? You can fill this out. My last slide is Luke chapter 10, verse 2. This is what I'm doing. I'm going to Jesus, and I'm doing what he's telling me to do. In Luke chapter 10, verse 2, he says to them, "The harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest." Who is the Lord of the harvest? Jesus. And I'm praying to him that he'll send you. I'm praying to him that he'll send me. I've mentioned before, there are times that I chose to pass the buck. What? Yeah, I've chose to pass the buck. And I was convicted, and I asked God to forgive me and to use me again. There's no time for us to be passing the bucks. There's no time for us to just put this back in the seat pocket. If you are not on Team Jesus, I'm praying that you get to be on his team, because Jesus has made it possible for you to be on the team. If you're not doing your part while being on the team, well, I'm praying to the Lord for you to begin to serve in whatever capacity the Holy Spirit's leading you to. If you're interested in serving in any one of these ministries, or if you're interested in becoming a member, write it on this card, because that's not on the card, but write it on the card, "I want to be a member." Put your name, put your phone number so we can contact you. We try to have our new membership classes once every 3-4 months, depending on what's going on in that time frame. But when we make ourselves available and teachable to God, we become great team players. And what a great team this is. Bow your heads. Father, we come to you and we thank you. Thank you, God. It's because of you, God, your great love for us, that you sent Jesus. It's because of you, Jesus, that we can be reconciled to God. It's because of you, Jesus, we can be a part of this team. It's because of you, Holy Spirit, that leads us to walk on the straight and narrow. It's because of you, Holy Spirit, that convicts us of God's truth, to remind us of what we're supposed to be doing, to remind us of God's word, of how we're supposed to be applying it. Thank you, Holy Spirit. You are our comforter. When we don't get it right and we repent, Holy Spirit, you come to comfort, and you remind us there is no condemnation for those who are in Jesus. I pray that every believer in this house will choose not to walk with condemnation, but will choose to walk in the forgiveness that Jesus provides. So if you have not been involved in what the Holy Spirit has already been speaking to you about, just repent. Just say, God, forgive me. I am sorry for passing the buck. But today, March 26th, I will stop passing the buck and I will accept my responsibility that you give me for the actions that you have laid before me to walk in. God, today I choose not to pass the buck, but I choose to get involved. Lead me, Holy Spirit. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, we have some scriptures that we want to share. One of them I just shared earlier, Romans 10:9. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, you shall be saved. And there are several other scriptures that we want to encourage you to find eternal life. And eternal life is only found in Jesus. If you need prayer for healing, you need prayer for wisdom, you need prayer for anything else, there will be people up here that will be glad to pray and stand on God's word over your situation.